Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez, and now joined by Tim Grenhardt in studio. Hello, Timmy. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back out and about on the mend here. Thank you.
How do you feel?
A little sore. You know, the coughs and sneezes are torture. But
bear hugs from everybody today?
Yeah.
Just come in there and give you a big old bear hug.
Get in here and give me
everybody.
I'd love to have a bear hug from you guys. But doing better. Doing much better. Thanks. It's good to be kind of, you know, the worst part about it is, you know, first of all, I've never been in the hospital that long. I was there for almost 5 days, which is a long time to be in ICU. And then, you know, just going home, you really can't do anything. You really can't work out. You can't drive for the first, 5 or 6 days because you're on some pain meds. So it's just been one of those. So it's really just been dragging along. But it's the light is at the end of the tunnel. And I've came in Tuesday to do Seren's show last night with Frank. We did crunch time here with you guys, and just excited to be talking Chiefs and out and about. So
tell people again what the injuries were.
Yeah, so I fell. Fell on some ice, and I do have it on my ring video if you guys want to see it. I don't know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, we'll show you at the break.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
So,
I do.
Fell and landed on my right side and broke three or four ribs, something like that. I don't know. And then punctured a lung, which was the worst part about it. But when you puncture that lung, you have to be in the hospital for a certain amount of time until they know that it's healed and it's back inflated and it's going to stay inflated. So that was what really took the longest. I'm walking around right now with the broken ribs, but the lung is fine. Everything is going good that way. So excited because I'm going to the game this Sunday.
Oh, boy.
I know. Yeah, I know. And last week I was supposed to do the first pass. So this week I'm going to do the first pass. But whoever throws it to me, please, please don't throw it low so I have to reach down, try to at least get it kind of up in an area where I don't have to.
Yeah, don't dive for it.
No, no, I'm not going to be diving. In fact, I thought, you know, Sarah's going to be with me. I was like, Sarah, maybe you can catch the football.
Right. She have good hands?
She does a good job of playing shortstop.
Okay.
You know, keeping hands away from her.
Right.
But
there we go.
I don't know about hands as far as.
Good defense.
Yeah, she's got great defense.
Tremendous defensive fighter.
Unbelievable.
But you're like, are you in pain right now? Or are you?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, talking. It's just like an achy little pain kind of in my on my right side underneath my armpit.
What are you taking for it?
I'm not taking anything right now. I have officially, since Tuesday, have been off my pain meds. I hate pain meds. It's one of the reasons why, I guess a cheap plug here, but CBD America Shot has been so important to me because I don't like taking opioids. I don't feel good taking them.
What about a nice vape?
No, you know, like a nice anti-inflammatory cream and some water-soluble, take away a little bit of the anxiety and the pain. And
a tremendous variety of products from CBD American Shaman that could help you.
Tremendous, tremendous. I'm very, very blessed and lucky to have my relationship with them. And you know what? They have done awesome. This is a great Kansas City company. They have 40-plus stores here in Kansas City, so anywhere you go, you could probably find one. And they have 360. They're the largest brick and mortar CBD franchises in the country. So congratulations, those guys.
Did you get a shot at all in your ribs for the pain?
I didn't, but I did get a lot of IV pain meds while I was in the hospital. Fentanyl, which is it's getting a pretty bad rap right now because of the illegal fentanyl. But that I did have that and a little bit of morphine. And once again, it sucked. I hated it. You may have felt good for the first 5 or 10 minutes, but after that, you're like, oh, this really stinks. But I'm back. I'm ready. I'm ready
to
roll.
Did you take the needle to do the show today to get you through this? Or
I didn't do my Toradol shot I used to do.
Jake had it ready for you, so you declined it.
Jake,
so
you got the Toradol shot back there for me?
Out there, and he is ready to go. Did you, when you were planning, did you take that? Was that?
That was something that we were given, probably to our detriment, but you learn it. The NFL's come a long way in the last 20 years.
Right.
You know, we kind of just patch ourselves together. A good bell ringing was a sense of, is a badge of honor. Now you're out for about a week, week and a half, 2 weeks. So.
Right.
But you know what? These guys are much healthier mentally and physically now than we were. So, and that's good. That's what should happen.
So Clyde Edwards-Helaire has, speaking of being injured, he had that shoulder injury he suffered in the first game against the Steelers. He has been a full participant the last 2 days. Based on him coming back from an injury, and it looks like he's going to be a go, Darrell Williams has not practiced the last 2 days with that toe injury. And then Jerick McKinnon looked like a stud against the Steelers. How do you expect the touches to be split up between the available running backs? And then you got Gore as kind of a wild card in there.
Yeah, so I think that Clyde will probably be in there in some first down and second down situations. Probably, if I would guess, maybe 20, 25% of the time, I think that McKinnon will be in there the bulk of the snaps in most third downs. You know, listen, he reminds me a lot of Todd McNair back in the day. He runs like Todd McNair. He catches the ball like Todd McNair. He's got the patience of a Todd McNair.
Third down back supreme.
He was. And I think that that's what you'll see McKinnon do. I do think they're going to try and sprinkle in Gore. I think they're going to try and sprinkle in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But I do think a bulk of the snaps will go to McKinnon. And he's earned it. And what a great story that is. I mean, he was buried on the depth chart pretty much the whole season. And when his chance came up, and that's a great lesson for everybody out there who's play sports. You know, whether you're a little kid, you're driving in which pops or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter where you start. Just keep on working, keep on battling, keep on doing the things you're supposed to do. Listen to the coaches, you know, work on all the little things to be a better football player or a better athlete in any sport you're in. And then eventually, if you, you know, Nate, I know that you had a little bit of this back when you were younger. When I know you're, I love your football stories. You're the littlest guy in the field, but you went out there and you were throwing your body around and you waited for your turn. Now we all know that you were just an unbelievable baseball player. So you didn't have to wait to get on the field for that. But it really, it's a great story. You know, here's a guy that, you know, was buried. I mean, Gore was getting more snaps than he was. And all of a sudden, you know, the playoff game comes around week 18 and, he basically, you know, I don't want to say won the game for the Chiefs, but certainly had a hand in it.
I'm just like Jerick McKinnon is what Gunny's getting at there, Stephen. So I'm glad you see that, Tim.
Well, you both have Chiefs red that there you are.
Yeah. That's the way he was when he was in a frat at KU. He was the littlest guy in there, but he threw his body around just so he could
wait in my turn. Just waiting my turn.
Waiting his turn to get onto the keg.
Yep. But in all seriousness, McKinnon brings something to the table that has got to have the Buffalo Bills a little concerned this week, right? I mean, we always talk about how much time you only have so many hours to prepare for a game.
Right.
How many times do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers talked about Jerick McKinnon as they were getting ready for that game?
Zero.
Right. How many times is Leslie Frazier and the Buffalo Bills talking about Jerick McKinnon getting ready for this game?
If they haven't, they're making a mistake. They have. I mean, so they're going to talk about McKinnon because they have to realize that, listen, one of the things that Andy Reid really likes to do, Nate, and Jake and Steven, is run the screens. I mean, he likes to run screens. He likes to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands in space to the running backs. One of the reasons why Clyde Edwards-Helaire was brought in here is because they thought that that when healthy, he is good at that aspect of the game. McKinnon has done a nice job of that. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you have to, and I always say this, and I think it's important for people to understand this, that reps are like money. You only have a certain amount of reps during the week. You know, in a practice, maybe you get 100 reps on the offensive side, 100 reps on the defensive side. So you got to choose what you're going to do. So now I promise you that at least, you know, 20 to 25% of those reps were with the run game with McKinnon and with the screen game and with throwing the ball out into the flats. So they have to be cognizant of where he's at all times.
So why doesn't Clyde get the receptions that Darrell Williams or Jerick McKinnon do? Because you look at how way more reps, way more games for Clyde this year than McKinnon, right? And if you factor in the playoff game, they both had 19 catches.
Yeah, you know,
they don't throw it to him, or is he just not like what's the reason?
Well, I think that, and this isn't, I don't want it to sound like it's a knock on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I don't think he's really understood and really just been able to get to the level he needs to in his pass protection. So when you have a guy in there that you don't really particularly trust, maybe in pass protection, picking up a linebacker or understanding of blocking protections, because a lot of times the running back, he has a responsibility, and if there's no blitz, and all of a sudden now he is the hot receiver, he'll go out on the flat or he'll do a curl or he'll do some of those things. And then in third down situations, You know, they know that he's not a good pass blocker. So if you put him in there, then, you know, they're going to key on him because they know they want you want to. I'm talking about defensive coordinators. When they see Clyde Helaire out there, they're probably saying, okay, well, they're going to try and get him the ball somehow. So when you have a guy who can do both, who can pass block well and also catch the ball well and run the ball in space, then I think that's why you don't see him getting as many catches. Because when he's in there in a passing situation, I would think that most of the time the defensive coordinators are thinking that they're going to try and get the ball to him in some fashion, or he'll be involved in the play other than pass protection, because he just hasn't quite grasped all the concepts. He's gotten better, but he's just not as good as the other two at that. So in order to protect Patrick Mahomes and in order to run your offense, you got to have a guy back there who can do both, and I don't know if Clyde could do both yet.
Nate Buchady.
All right, let's talk about the rest of the offense real quick before we get into the Bills' defense then. Sure. So we know McKinnon is a weapon. Mecole Hardman has become a bigger weapon here of late, ever since he kind of cratered out where he wasn't getting any snaps. How impressed have you been with his response to all that and the way he's kind of grown into the offense the last few weeks?
Well, I think that Andy Reid has made it a point of emphasis to involve him in the offense more, and I think that's given him confidence. You know, when you're sitting in that room on Wednesday and you have the offensive game plan put in and you know that there are some certain plays that are designed just for you, and when you get to practice and those plays are called, you take some pride in it and you're trying to have success in it. So it gives him a little bit of confidence, gives him a little bit of juice, and I think that that's what he was missing. Maybe the confidence was there, but I think the juice was gone. I don't think he was really into the game plan as much, both mentally or physically, because he just wasn't included as much. So I think that because he's been included, and listen, you know, Tyreek has had some issues with some different injuries, and, you know, he basically hurt his foot. Was it the Denver game where he didn't even really get out there that much when he hurt his heel or his calf or whatever it was? So in pregame. So, you know, Hardman's done a nice job of taking the plays that are designed for him and executing those plays. And, you know, listen, he's a great athlete. We've all known he's a great athlete. And, you know, if you can get him with confidence and get the ball in his hands in space, good things happen. I think Andy's done a nice job of that. You know, he had a 100-yard receiving game. If you would ask me in the beginning of the year, is Hardman going to have a 100-yard receiving game? I don't know if I could say yes. But I'll tell you what, he had one, and he's been a part of the offense really ever since then. And the one thing I do, and the one thing that the Chiefs have really got to take advantage of, and real quick, just talking some X's and O's and Jimmy's and Joe's, the defensive line for Buffalo is not very good. Okay, they're very average. They do have some depth, and they can bring guys in, and they have some guys that have a little bit of wiggle and speed coming off the edges, but they're not very good. So last week, we saw a little bit of a stalemate or kind of a sluggish start from the Chiefs in the first 15 plays in the first five series where they didn't score. You know, Andy Reid, you know, people say, well, why did he do this, do that? And I always tell people the first 15 plays, yeah, you love to score, and yeah, you'd like to have success, but it's put in and it's predicated to find out what they're going to do against certain looks. You can watch film all week long and say, okay, when we're in trips, they're going to do this. When we're in quads, they're going to do this. When we're in a two-back situation, they're going to do this. But until you see what they're going to do and what the defensive coordinators come up in their game plan, everybody always tweaks it a little bit. That's why Andy, you'll see when he does run these first 15 plays that there's a lot of different formations, a lot of different looks, a lot of different personnel groups in, so he could see how they're going to line up against that. He's going to see what the front is going to be this week, the dominant front. He's going to see what the dominant coverage is going to be by what he's trying to do with the first 15. And the other thing, he's going to say, what's the blitz of the week, the flavor of the week in the blitz? Each defensive coordinator has a blitz slash, you know, pressure package that they design and put in each week. You don't want to keep it the same because you could pick it up and it's the element of surprise. So that's what he's doing in those first 15 plays. And so that last week, the Pittsburgh Steelers had a hell of a game plan. So getting back to Buffalo, their front four is very average. So you don't have to chip. You don't have to keep a guy in. Last week, you saw the running backs chipping a little bit on the defensive ends. Last week, you saw tight ends staying in a little bit and helping in protection. They have to win the 5-on-5 battle up front this week against this defensive line, or 5-on-4 if they're not going to bring pressure. That's number one. Number two, this may be the best back end in the NFL right now with their two safeties and their linebackers are very, very good football players. And so the Chiefs have got to be ready to handle whether they're going to play that cover two shell or whether they're going to do a little bit what Pittsburgh did. Remember now, Pittsburgh brought more pressure against the Chiefs last week than really any team has. They blitzed it like 11 or 12 times, and the Chiefs struggled. They were 2 of 7 in pass completions against the 11 pressure looks, and they gave up like 3 sacks. So the Chiefs have got to do a better job in the pressure. And the Buffalo Bills, even though they don't pressure or blitz a lot, only 29% of the time, they led the league in getting to the quarterback in blitz situations. So they do a very good job, and that is the key. Up front, once again, you always talk about the guys up front. That's the important thing. If you're looking at the Chiefs' offense, yeah, Patrick Mahomes got to play well. Yeah, Tyreek Hill's got to get open in the deep ball. Yeah, Travis Kelce needs to roam and make those catches. But the guys up front have got to protect and give Patrick Mahomes time, because there's going to be a time in this game when all of a sudden they're going to come out of that cover two shell, they're going to get into cover zero, and they're going to blitz the hell out of Patrick Mahomes, and they got to be ready for it.
We've got Tim Grunhardt in studio. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Before we move on, I want to throw the question to you that Nate and Jake and I had a little bit of a discussion about. We mentioned that Eric Bieniemy is scheduled to interview with the Denver Broncos today. Nate said he doesn't like the process where you have to, you know, you got a guy trying to get ready for a playoff game. He's got an interview.
Yeah.
And so is there a better way, or is that just it? I mean, because the successful teams are going to be in the playoffs. Those coaches are the ones that are going to be poached because they're in the playoffs, and it's the nature of the beast. Or is there, I mean, do we make too much of that? Because he keeps getting asked about the process in the press conferences, and he does not want to talk about it. He's not going to talk about it. But we know that he's interviewing with the Broncos today.
Well, I mean, is it a distraction? Possibly. But the one thing that most of these coaches do is they wait until Friday of game week. If you're a playoff guy, like I'm sure that interview today, whether it's a Zoom interview or whether he's flying out there, I don't know. I would probably think it's probably a Zoom interview, so it doesn't really take too much time. But the other thing is, you got to remember, and this is one of the things my old high school coach used to say all the time, you know, the hay's in the barn right now. It's Friday, the hay's in the barn. They've done everything they're going to do to prepare for this game, as far as game plan, as far as reps, as far as film study, as far as, you know, getting their playlist all set. So he's done. It's really, okay, here's the keys to the Ferrari, Patrick. You know, go ahead and take it and go ahead and drive with it. And all a coach does now, all you are is a passenger. I mean, you're calling the plays, but, you know, that's how you're affecting it. And the rest of it's up to the players to go ahead and perform. So he's done with his work. So if this was on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday when, you know, you're doing all that work for the game, then, you know, you'd have a little bit more concern. But I think on Friday of game week, you know, probably on a Zoom meeting, he's probably going to sit down. Listen, this guy needs to get a job. Eric Bieniemy is an excellent coach. I think he'll do a great job. Unfortunately, it may be with Denver. I think in his personal life, it's a good fit. You know, he's from he played in Colorado. He's got a lot of people that he knows in that area. His name has been brought up for the Buffs job a couple different times at the University of Colorado. So now I think he wanted to be an NFL coach, and the Denver Broncos, you know, that's a pretty good football team that needs good leadership, and I think he can provide that.
And Brian Daboll's going through the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of guys going through it. Yeah, I mean, that's just part of the nature of the beast. Like you guys have said, when you're on a successful staff that's playing in the playoffs and you want to go ahead and poach somebody from that staff, there's, you know, there's only a certain amount of time. You got to figure it out, because as soon as the season's over, it's not like you have a couple, you know, weeks to kind of just do nothing. Now you got to go ahead and, you know, look at the college guys and free agency. Now you're going to the East-West Shrine game. You're going to you know, the combine, you're doing all those things. So you got to really get going. If you're the head coach, there's no time off. It's time to get back to work and start getting ready for the next season. And that all starts, gosh, especially with the season moving as far back as it is now, that all starts in about a week or two right after the season's over. So they got to have a coach in place to get this thing that they are trying to put together rolling. And so that's why I think they're doing this interview process now.
We have Tim Grunhard in studio. What's your biggest fear in this matchup between the Chiefs and the Bills?
Well, the biggest fear I have is Josh Allen. Josh Allen, I think he's just an excellent, excellent football player, a big guy that can run. And they do a lot of design runs, a lot of counter, a lot of power. And what we call, and this is the kind of the phrase of the week that I'd like to get out to everybody. When you're watching this game, the Chiefs have got to worry about the plus one run game. And for everybody out there, the plus one run game is the quarterback basically running the ball. Now, they only do it about maybe 6 to 8 times a game designed. You know, he'll scramble and run around also, but When they design the plus one run, they have an extra blocker out there. It's just the nature of the beast. And I remember when you're the quarterback and you hand the ball off, basically you're dead. You're out of the play. All right. But when you're the quarterback and you're running with the ball, now you have that one guy extra to lead through. So a lot of the stuff that they do with pulling, whether it's the guard or the tackle and then bringing that running back as that lead blocker through the hole, it causes issues for people, and he's a big guy, and his yards after contact is amazing. I mean, I think he's got like, 400, 500 yards rushing this year or something, and I think after contact is like 200 yards after
contact. He's bringing Powell.
Right.
Yeah, he is a big, strong runner. So the Chiefs again. So what, if I'm coaching the safeties and I'm coaching the linebackers, and I talked about this last night, you can't get busy eyes. All right, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get you to worry about all these little different things. You're trying to, okay, so you're the safeties and or the linebackers. You know, you're trying to read your key, and they're going to give you all kinds of different looks, all kinds of different formations, all kinds of different schemes to kind of get you speeded up. And what Spags has got to do, especially against Josh Allen, is you've got to have soft eyes, which means you've got to be able to understand, listen, I'm going to read my key. I am going to understand the scheme that's been implemented by our staff, and I am going to follow that, and I'm going to do my job. If you can do that, then you will be in a position to make plays on Josh Allen when he decides to do these design runs or when he decides to go ahead and tuck it and run, which he's had a lot of success doing. So that concerns me because they have really good wide receivers. Sanders and Diggs are good wide receivers. Knox is an up-and-coming tight end. And Singletary does a nice job of catching the ball out of the backfield. Listen, they throw the ball like 66 to 68% of the time. So they like to throw the ball. And I would say when they run that other 38 to 40% of the time that they run, they like to run, you know, half of that with the quarterback, which is a plus one run. The other half is when they run Singletary and some other guys out there. So the key to this game is, number one, you have to have a spy in the, not in the sense of a guy who's just married to the quarterback, because if you do that, that's what they want you to do. Because now you're taking a guy out of coverage and you're putting him in the middle of the field and you're watching the quarterback and really, he's kind of a non-entity in coverage because he's got to stay right there and mirror the quarterback. But you want your safeties and your linebackers to read their keys and understand that, you know, you got to watch the quarterback as you get to your zone drops. And if you turn your back and play cover zero or you play man, that's what they want too. So pressure is going to be few and far between, I believe, in this game. I don't think you're going to see Spags bring as much pressure because you don't want to put those guys in the cover zero when they're turning their backs to the quarterback, because that's what happened last time. You know, the Chiefs decided, hey, we're going to bring a bunch of pressure, and when they didn't get home, and once he breaks through that front line or breaks through the initial line of scrimmage, the safeties and the corners have to go up and tackle a big man, and their backs are to him initially. So, you know, he's got the momentum, you got to come up, and that's not easy to do. So it's a big game for the safeties and a big game for the Chiefs linebackers. That's why Willie Gay is a huge part of this game plan, and it'll be interesting to find out today what they're going to do with him. And, you know, listen, whatever Andy does is what Andy does, but Willie Gay, unfortunately, running into the issues he ran into, this is a huge game for him because he's the kind of athlete. Him and Bolton are guys of the athletes who could come up and lay a lick on the quarterback. And
Bill Moss said he'd have Gay as the spy.
Yeah, and that is. And so I don't like the idea of having a guy particularly just on Josh Allen as a spy because that's what they kind of want. They want to attack the middle of the field with Diggs. They want to attack the middle of the field with Knox, and they want to spread you out with Sanders. And last time, Sanders hurt the Chiefs with two touchdowns. So when you take a guy and you put him in there, now you are taking one guy out of coverage. So if you have six guys in coverage instead of seven guys in coverage, there's certain areas that are open that they'll take advantage of. So I think that you as a linebacker, or as a safety, you've got to be cognizant and understand through your keys and through your film study I'll give you a prime example. If you watch Buffalo and it's empty formation, you would think, you know, no running back, you would think, okay, here we go. This has got to be 90% pass. Well, it's not. They love to run the ball with Josh Allen in those situations. So now what they're trying to do is they're trying to get you to spy and stay in there with one guy, and now they have numbers and they have space for their wide receivers and tight ends because you have one guy that's kind of stuck in a spot mirroring, and they could take advantage of that. Well, if you don't do that, then Josh Allen is going to run a counter, a power, a plus one run, and he's going to have numbers on you at the point of attack. That's how they win football games. So, as a linebacker or a safety, you have to understand situations. You got to understand tendencies. You got to understand by formation what they're trying to do, and you've got to trust in your coaching staff. You got to trust in the game plan, but you have to be cognizant of saying, okay, if I see this guard pull, you know, and that's not easy to do when you're dropping back into a zone drop. If you see the guard pull, you got to plant your foot and you got to get up and you got to get up there and fill and make a play at the point of attack. Cause if you don't, that's when they got you. So, whether they spy, that's up to Spags. Listen, they've watched more film than I have. I don't particularly would want to do that because I think it takes guys away from coverage stuff. But, you know, they may take Dan Sorensen and say, Dan, here's what we want you to do. We want you just to be married to Josh Allen and stay in there. And that could be one of the things. So here's what you're going to look for. Number one, where's Dan Sorensen at? Is Dan Sorensen up in the box? Are they playing cover three? If they are, watch and see if he, when he opens his hips, if his eyes are in the backfield still, and he's watching, maybe he is going to be that spy guy. And then number two, you want to look for, okay, when they do bring pressure, is it a zone blitz type of situation, which I think that they could do against Josh Allen. You want to give Josh Allen a pre-snap read of one thing and then do something else. You want to give him that cover two look, and then rotate a safety up and maybe put him in a spy because the first thing he sees in that cover two is, okay, we can now run the ball maybe a little bit more efficiently, or if it's cover zero, that, you know, we can, you know, drop back and break that line of scrimmage and get some space. So you want to give him a pre-snap look of one thing and do another because his interceptions this year have not been just dropping back in the pocket on his spot and throwing the ball to the other guy. He's done a really good job of not doing that. When he throws his interceptions and when he turns the ball over, it's when he thinks that he's going to run and they take that run away and then he tries to force the ball down the field. Okay, so that's what the Chiefs need to get him into, where they have somebody there responsible for and cognizant of him running the football. And if he sees that, then he stops and he tries to Patrick Mahomes it a little bit and throw it sidearm or throw it over the top and stuff. And he just doesn't have that moxie that Patrick Mahomes has in those situations. And that's where you want to get him. If the Chiefs can get him into a situation where he starts to second guess whether he's going to tuck it and run or throw it, that's when you get the turnovers and that's when the Chiefs will win.
How I feel like this is going to be a massively important game for Chris Jones to blow up some of those plays by the way he penetrates into the backfield before they can even really get them going. Is that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. Great point. Yeah. Listen, the front four for the Kansas City Chiefs have got to dominate. And the Bills have a good offensive line. It really, I know it's the old adage, it's one up front, it's one up front. But in this game, it really is. The front five of the Chiefs have got to do a good job of limiting the pressure. They struggled against the Steelers. Let's just call it the way it was. I thought it was the worst game that they played this year. I really do. And, they got to bounce back from that. But the Steelers' defensive line is one of the top defensive lines in the NFL. These guys aren't. So you're going to have to block. You're going to have to win your one-on-one battles on both sides of the football. So Chris Jones, he's got to dominate. And our guy Mitch Morris is a good football player. So they're going to be turning the protection to him, and Mitch is going to be the guy double-teaming him. So it's going to be a full meal deal for Chris Jones to get in there. But he can do it. He's got that kind of moxie and that kind of toughness. But the good news is, when you're double-teaming Chris Jones, now you have some singles on Clark and Ingram. And really, to me, the most important part of this game is they've got to win outside. Those defensive ends have got to get more production to the quarterback than they have in the last couple weeks. They've got to get there. If they can get there, because it's one-on-one stuff, guys. They're not chipping, and they're not double-teaming those guys out there. They're double-teaming Chris Jones. So you got to win those one-on-one battles. And I'm calling them out right now. Ingram and Clark have got to win the one-on-one pass rush battles this week and be able to get to Josh Allen before he can get momentum and get going. If they can do that, this doesn't have to be close.
You mentioned Mitch Morris. Let's listen to the former Chiefs center now with the Buffalo Bills talking about the similarities between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Both fiercely competitive players. Through the ebbs and flows of a season, the game, they're unwavering in their professionalism and their the fiery spirit. Both guys who are very approachable as people. And both guys who are loved by their locker rooms, respectively.
And then what is it about Josh Allen that makes the whole team just want to run through a wall for him?
Because he'd run through a wall for you. And he'll be the first one to do it, and then we'll follow suit. So loves his teammates, truly. And with something like that, it's easy to go to battle with a guy.
I mean, Morris knows Chris Jones, knows those guys very well. I mean, he was here. That's going to be an interesting matchup to watch.
Yeah, and that's great comments from Mitch. Mitch is great. Right. He's a great guy, and he's right. I mean, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they're the undisputed leaders of those locker rooms, and they lead by example, and they're both tough suckers, and they're going to go out there, they're going to play hard, and it's going to be a fun game to watch these quarterbacks go at each other. And it's going to be for years now. Remember, these are two young guys. We got another 10 years of this going on. It's going to be a fun, fun rivalry for many, many years.
We have Tim Gernhardt in studio back after this on WHB. Well, rest in peace, Meatloaf. We started the show with that, and now rest in peace, Louis Anderson. He's passed away, so. Hurry up, man, the show. Good Lord. I was a Meatloaf fan, so that sucks.
Yeah, me too.
74 years old, hell of a run. Like a bat out of hell. Let's get your thoughts now on how this game is going to play out, what style of game, and what the score is going to be on Sunday night at Arrowhead Stadium.
Well, the Chiefs have to start, this is very obvious, but have to start faster than they did last week. Pittsburgh Steelers offense was not very good. Ben Roethlisberger there is obviously pointing down on a guy, great career, but he's ready to retire. So, they struggled. The Chiefs couldn't score. That's not going to happen this week. Josh Allen, they're going to put points up, and the Chiefs have got to start fast, and they've got to be able to get Buffalo in a situation where they're going to have to throw the ball around in order to catch back up to the Chiefs. If you put in a situation where it's a really close game, then Josh Allen can do either one, pass or run, then it's going to, it's going to be a tough one for the Chiefs. I do think the Chiefs are a better football team. I think that, playing at home is a distinct advantage, obviously, for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's a close game. I think it's 31-28. Chiefs win the football game. But I think it's going to come down to Mahomes' magic again at the end of the game, where he's going to have to come down and score, and he will. And he'll be put in a situation with under 2 minutes left to go score to win, and he's going to do it because that's what he does. But I think it's going to be an entertaining game, Go to CBD America Shaman and get some water solubles for anxiety, because you're going to have some. It's going to be one of those games, because both teams are very, very good. Both teams have a lot of confidence. Both teams have excellent quarterbacks. And the advantage is the Chiefs are home. And they have Patrick Mahomes. I think Patrick Mahomes is better than Josh Allen. But Josh Allen's right up there. So it's going to be a close game.
See, that's what I'm relying on when it comes down. And I think it'll be a close game in the fourth quarter. I have, and that's why I just, you know, I don't care because it's Mike Greenberg, but anyone that says they have more confidence in Josh Allen in the playoffs than Patrick Mahomes, what have you been watching?
Explain what
on earth are you talking about? And so he's not being truthful. He's saying something ridiculous just to get a reaction out of
you're crazy
radio guys in Kansas City. And so the point is, when it comes down, if it's a one-score game, either way, in the fourth quarter, Chiefs are going to win. Because Mahomes, he's like Michael Myers. You cannot kill him. He will keep coming back.
Absolutely. You just look at, listen, Josh Allen is a great quarterback. And listen, he's right up there in the top five quarterbacks. I think we talked about a month ago who the top five quarterbacks. He's right up there. But you can't say that. I mean, if you look at Josh Allen in the playoffs, he's lost consistently in the playoffs. He's not gotten to the Super Bowl. He's got his team there. They lost to the Chiefs last year. The year before, who did they – was it the Patriots?
They lost to the Titans. That's why the Chiefs got to play.
That's right. They lost to the Titans, and he didn't play very good in that game. Listen, he's a great football player, but he's not Patrick Mahomes. So let's just – It is what it is. I don't care if I was sitting, in Buffalo right now or sitting here in Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes is a proven entity who's won in the playoffs. He's been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. And, he's proven that he can make the plays when he has to. And Josh Allen still hasn't quite done that. Not taking anything away from Josh Allen, but he hasn't quite done that yet. Listen, I've been there, done that. If you look at my career, made the playoffs many, many times and was right there on the top of the list of playoff games played in Kansas City. But we just didn't have that guy who could pull the trigger to help us win a football game. And the Chiefs do now. And Josh Allen still needs to prove that. And whether he can go out there this week and prove it and beat Patrick Mahomes. And that could possibly happen. But he hadn't done it yet. And until he does it, you can't give him that crown of being the best quarterback.
The only thing I'd add to that is that every guy on the Chiefs' side of the field knows it with Patrick Mahomes, but so does every guy on the other side of the field. They might have beat the Chiefs' butt in the regular season, but they know it's the playoffs now, and they know who they're going up against. And we've already seen it enough times when teams get up on the Chiefs, just like the Bills did last year. They don't feel confident because Patrick Mahomes is over there. And I believe that he carries an aura with him now that affects both teams.
Absolutely.
And all that said, not that they can't overcome it because they do it all the time in the postseason. How about a nice fast start and not getting down 10-0?
Yeah.
Go out there and kick ass from the beginning.
Absolutely. I think that's really important for the Chiefs. I mean, get the crowd into it. Get them excited. There was nothing like the second half of that Pittsburgh game with that crowd and that offense clicking, that wave of momentum and that wave of energy and that wave of enthusiasm and that Chiefs kingdom just took over the game. Let's get to that again, but let's get to that with 14 minutes left in the first quarter and not 14 minutes left in the game.
That's Tim Grunhard. Enjoy your Red Friday, your Playoff Friday. Come and see me at the Hy-Vee in Gladstone. I'm going to be there from 11 to 1 and win tickets to go see the Chiefs beat the Bills. Everybody, have a wonderful Red Friday listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.